Hello and welcome to the Pace Yourself podcast with me, Jamie Nolden. This podcast is all about real life stories of people who have found running to be a powerful tool in navigating life's challenges, whether it's from mental health, sobriety, weight loss, or just coping with everyday struggles. It's all about inspiring others and showing how powerful the simple act of running can be. So with our first guest, meet Uli. Uli, who turned to running and triathlons in April 2024 as a way of regaining control over his mental health. After years of struggling with depression and social anxiety, Uli found that running wasn't just exercise, it became a lifeline. In this episode, he shares how running helped him push through dark times, find balance and rediscover a sense of purpose. So good afternoon and welcome, Uli. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm very fine. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, are you happy to be on the show?
Yeah, for sure. Very excited and very fun to do that.
Cool. Okay, so you're here to explain your journey to balance through running, yeah? So how did it all start?
Yeah, how did it start? I actually started to run in April 24. Before that, I had struggled a bit with depression. I was kind of a couch potato before. I have done sports in my life every now and then, like had a long time where I did cycling, but then I have done nothing and just sat around like how it is in depression, basically. And then in April 24, I've started running and picked up cycling again, picked up swimming, which I'm still bad at, and just started triathlons and running, and since then I'm happy again.
Okay, so the start of your journey. So what inspired you to start running and doing triathlons back in April 24? And did you expect to have so much profound impact on your mental health? Did you think it would do that?
Yeah, I didn't think that it would have that profound impact. For me, it was more like, I'm currently studying to become a physiotherapist, and the school I'm doing that at, the higher courses, they did a sports event for us where we had to run on track 3K, and I was so out of shape. I took a long time for that 3K. It wasn't that good. I didn't feel good after it, and that was a moment where I said, okay, you now ran 3K. You had a bad time. We have to do the same thing next year for the classes that are under us. And I said, okay, next year I will nail those 3K, will run a good time and not be half bad when we finish. And that was basically the thing that got me into running. So I got home, I started running. At first I said, okay, I want to beat my time. I took, I think, 17 something minutes on 3K, and I said, okay, I want to beat those 17 minutes on 3K. And for me, that was like full sprint, basically. So I was completely dead after that, and I've never really finished it in that time again.
That is a very fast time. 17 minutes for a new runner is very fast. So would you say the cycling helped towards that?
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Like, I still had a bit of cycling endurance, and that for sure helped. So I'm not a runner that came completely unfit into running, but I haven't done anything for like 2 or 3 years, and haven't done any sports whatsoever. So yeah, I think cycling helped a lot.
So you had quite a big gap then. So you mentioned, obviously, with the depression and your anxiety slightly. So how has running helped you manage and cope with the depression and social anxiety? Are there any moments where running provided you with like a massive breakthrough where you thought, God, this is really helping me now and I need to continue it?
Yeah, it's actually had that. So for one, it showed me that I can reach goals that I didn't think I can reach. So it boosted my confidence. I struggled with anxiety a lot too, so social anxiety. And that has gone away, not completely, but for the most part. Because just those small goals you achieve in running, like for example, when I started out and ran my first 5K, I never thought that I could run 5K. So I just went out, I ran, did that 5K, and did it in slightly over half an hour. And I wasn't completely dead after that. And I thought, okay, that's cool. Like I can run 5K and I can still stand straight and that's cool. And it taught me that the mind can do more than you think you can.
Yeah. And like, I think with depression as well, depression and anxiety, it is a mind disease in a way. So it's very... running really makes you focus on your mind when you're running, because you it's just you and your thoughts, isn't it, when you're running? So you and your own head, you, your music or your podcast, you know, hopefully this podcast, you're just in your mind. And that's what I found with my depression. When I started using it for running, it helped me clear my head because I was focusing on getting to that next mile. So it is a great tool to help towards depression and anxiety, definitely.
Yeah, for sure. Like, it's scientifically proven that sports helps us to get a higher level of endorphins, which are missing in depression, obviously. You have a higher level of serotonin from sports.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that is something that quite immediately starts happening.
Run as high. That's what
it's
saying.
Exactly.
Run as high. Yeah. So with your physical and mental benefits, many people find that physical activity does help mental health. So how do running and triathlons help you balance both physical and mental wellness? Because obviously triathlons, they're tough. They are tough on the mind, the body, because you're swimming, which you say you're trying to get good at.
Yeah.
You're biking, obviously you're a keen biker, so road bike, I would imagine, and you've started running. So what's the physical and mental impact on you then? How do you deal with that?
Yeah, I think for triathlons, it's even more than with running. When I did my first triathlon, it was a small sprint triathlon, and I got out of the water with the worst time ever, I think. I was not the last, but I haven't had a good time. And I got out of the water and had to run up to the change zone. And I didn't think my legs could carry me up there because I was so exhausted from swimming, and still managed to run up the hill into the transition zone. And got on my bike. Pedaled on and did a good bike time, and alone that was a thing where I thought it taught me that triathlon gives you this I can do more than my body tells me. It's a mind game basically, and it strengthens your mind, and the community as well is great.
Yes,
I've met so many people that are keen to help me in my journey, that I run with, that I cycle with, which is really cool, actually.
Yeah, and that's what I love about running. So for me, I always thought running was a solo sport. I always thought you finish work and you go out for a run. That's what people do. And then it's only till I've started meeting people like yourself, you know, how we met, and it was just a case of me saying, I want some support with my journey. And, you know, you've supported me with my journey. You know, you've talked to me and you've congratulated me on certain things, and same for you. And that is such a lovely thing. And it really does. People can't be scared of running as a sport because I think they overthink. So they think, oh, I can't do a mile. I couldn't do a mile. I couldn't do 5K. I couldn't even manage it. I was that overweight. I've done it now, but with people I was running with, or, you know, people that are running out, they always seem to try and support you, and they're very welcoming. And that's a lovely thing to have for a sport.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I have people that I run with that are way faster than me, like marathon runners that do that for years. And when we run my zone two pace, for them, it's a really, really light jog. And I always say, oh, I'm sorry, I'm too slow. And they always tell me, no, it's all good. Like, this is more of a social run. It's, we both want to have fun. Just let's go out, just run. And yeah, just let's talk a bit while running. And that's the cool thing. And then you post something online and even the good runners say, oh, nice, cool, congrats. Like, you achieved something there. And that's cool. I have yet to meet one toxic person in running, I think.
Yeah, same. Yeah, definitely. My first, when I was running, it was about 15. My pace was about 15.5 when I first started running. And that was, I was ashamed. I just thought, wow, I am so slow. And as soon as I started speaking to the running community, everybody said to me, forget your pace. Forget it. Just go and enjoy the run. Enjoy running. That's what it was all about. So have you, with your sort of running, and obviously you're talking about the depression, has it helped you push through challenging times? Like, are there any like particular experiences or runs that stand out that as a turning point for you with your depression? Because I know, you know, social anxiety is a horrible thing. I've had friends go through it. I wouldn't say necessarily I had that. I just didn't want to socialize with people. I didn't want to be around people. I'd lock myself up in a room. So what was that turning point for you on one of those runs? Was it you just think, yeah, you know, this is, I'm feeling good now. It's getting better.
I think it's the turning point was more after running, like the strength it gave me. When before I started running, I was more of the quiet dude in school. I had my two or three people I talked to. When people were whispering and laughing, I always projected that onto myself. And I thought, oh my gosh, you did something funny and they laugh about you. And yeah, but that wasn't ever the case. It was that the anxiety that did that. And I think the running gave me just the strength and the confidence to be in the classroom. Now I talk to everyone. I'm very open. I'm very bubbly at times, which comes from sports and running especially. And I'm also sometimes a pain of the ass for my classmates, because I always say, come on, let's go for a run, and they don't like running.
You've seen a massive mental shift then from the running, and obviously you've sort of just you've took it one step further, because you're loving the endorphins, you're loving the fact that you're getting that runner's high, but you're taking it further now with your swimming and your biking. So, well, have you got triathlons lined up now to go to?
Not for this year. I'm starting again in the next season.
Mm-hmm.
So next year for sure. But I won't do anything more than sprint or Olympic distance, because everything else is just too much for me, I think, right now. But I'm completely happy with that, because that is where the fun is for me. It's cool. And I have some runs. So, for example, on 20th this month, I run my first half marathon, which I'm not doing for the time. I'm just doing for the finish. And if I have to walk in between the runs, it's totally fine for me. I just want to finish, just to prove myself that I can do it and that I have it in me to run a half marathon.
Yeah. Well, if they say, if you don't walk as a runner, you're not a runner.
But exactly.
Everyone's had to walk and run at some point. I still have to do it sometimes if I'm having an off day, because it's a very, very strong-minded sport, because your body is always telling you, Jamie, stop. Uli, stop. What are you doing? You're crazy, man. What is happening here? Yeah, stop running. But, you know, you've got to get past that, haven't you? It's that whole mental barrier. So would you say with your triathlons, has that helped you with your mental barriers?
Yeah, for sure, in a huge way, definitely, because as you say, it's this thing where the body tells you what are you doing, and where sometimes even your mind tells you when you're in training and you run and you don't want to run and you go out for a run, everything hurts and you say, what am I doing here? And then you come back and then you have this feeling of breaking another barrier and showing yourself that you could do it, and you even did it in a decent time, and at least you got out of the sofa and out in the nature and ran, and that is something great.
And that's a big thing, isn't it? Nature, and you touched on earlier, obviously you'd know more about it because obviously you're sort of, you know, you've studied a little bit about it, but with the depression side of things, getting out is one of the best things you can do. It's hard if you've got that social anxiety, I get that, but making that step and doing that, even if it's a start, a walk, then going into a run, it does work. It really, really does work. And it's, you can rely on medication to a certain point, but you've got to get those natural levels building up themselves, haven't you, to get past those boundaries. So advice for others struggling, for those dealing with depression, anxiety, what advice would you give them in starting an activity like running, or what steps did you use as a manageable steps with your depression? Like, how do you manage that, and what's the steps with running?
Yeah, for starters, I want for people to get help. So it's very important to speak to a doctor. I was reluctant to speak to one, actually. For me, it was the stigma. Like, I don't want to see a psychiatrist, for example, because I didn't feel like I needed one. And for me, it was, it was this stigma just that people sometimes still have. Like, you go to the psychiatrist, are you crazy, and stuff like that. But I'm glad that I did it, and I'm glad that I went there, because he put me on meds, which I think, if it helps people, it's great. I know that some people have bad experiences, but for the most part, mine were very positive. And just that's the first thing, just go and look for help and seek a doctor. The other thing is, if you want to get active, just do it. Like, there is no small steps you can do. Like, for sure, you can go out. If you have a dog, for example, go out, go on walks with your dog, or go on walks solo. Just enjoy nature, because it does so much. That vitamin D that you get from being outside is so important, also for the mind. And just do something outside. Just don't sit in the house. Don't sit inside and think too much. Just go out and enjoy nature. Breathe it in. Let it flood your body. Let it flood your mind. And see what beautiful landscapes you have where you can go to, and be happy about it. Like, that's a huge deal, I think. And if you want to start running, just do it. Like, just run. And even if you just can run 500 meters, it's not bad. Like, half a K is a still run. Like, you're a runner.
So for me, when I took that step to go to the doctors, I didn't really notice I had depression. It was only till my wife said to me, "You are a completely different person at the minute." And I was thinking that was getting me angry, because I was thinking, no, I'm not. I'm the same person. But then talking to her about it and realizing, and then her saying to me, you know, you should go to the doctors, that opened my eyes. So that's when I went. I went there and I did it. They do a very simple test, don't they? They ask you some questions and rate you on a scale, so on and so forth. And straight away it was like, you've got depression. And for me, as a man, you know, I think there's this massive stigma where if you're a man, you're not allowed to be depressed. You're not allowed to get upset. You're not allowed to, you know, you are the alpha male, and that is it. And it's not like that. And, you know, I think as soon as I started reading up on depression more and realizing that this is a massive thing at the moment, it's huge. It's, you know, a lot of people suffer from so many different types of it. And I had several different medications that I had to try till I found the right one. Was that the same for you? Did you just have one and then it worked, or was it, did you change them and change the sort of, like, you know, levels of them?
No, I tried different ones. I had like, I think just two different antidepressants. The first one wasn't, I couldn't deal with it that good. Like, I had, I don't know the word right now. I had bad stuff happening. Like, for example, my tummy was hurting. I had problems on sleeping and stuff like that. And then he gave me the one that I take now, and I have none of that.
And that's the thing, when you take that medication, the symptoms get worse before they get better. That's what they say, isn't it? So if you, when you start taking them, you do feel a lot lower than you normally are. I found that with one I was taking, it put me even worse. Like, it was horrible. I was in a really, 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 really dark place. And then it didn't help the fact that everything, you know, was going on with my dad, so on and so forth. And then they changed it, but increased it. And God, the change, you know, I started to feel a little bit more where I could want to socialize, which was nice. I wasn't hiding in a room all the time. I wanted to go to work, where before I couldn't think anything worse than working. I did not want to socialize or anyone. So yeah, it does work when they changed it, but people do need to realize that it does make you worse before you get better. But once you pass that initial stage, it improves, doesn't it?
Exactly. It does help you, and it does get worse, but only for 1 week or 2 weeks, and then it gets better. It takes some time until it starts to get better, but it's worth it. Like, the bad days are worth it because, like, it brings back energy, I call it. Like, for me, my energy was completely gone. I couldn't go out even if I wanted to. And it brings back that energy and ignites that spark that you need to pick up activity or to to get better for yourself. And that's just the energy you need to ignite that spark.
Yeah, and that's it. The medication it stimulates the front of the brain, doesn't it? So it's like it produces the serotonin from the front, which increases it. But if you're adding a healthy diet towards that as well, and then you're running, it improves it tenfold. I mean, my wife's very happy now, because I think she was probably at the stage where she thought, I'm going. I've had enough, you know, because I wasn't a nice person. And looking back now, I really see that. I really see that. Do you see a massive change in you from family, friends, and stuff like that? Do they see a difference in you?
Yeah, 100%. I hear it every now and then that I have completely changed. I'm much more open. I talk a lot more. I'm a lot more active, obviously. For sure, 100%. And that's why I think it was the best decision in my life to, go to a doctor and to start running.
So anyone out there, you would advise straight away, doctors definitely the way forward, because you need, if you are struggling, you need that help. You need that little push. Yeah. It's not about being ashamed of that. We're not in the 60s, 70s anymore. You know, it's very, men are built differently now. Men are very different. You know, I'm comfortable with my emotions. You know, I do get upset from time to time, and, you know, that's how it should be. You know, mental health is a very, very serious illness. And especially for men more, because men struggle to share feelings. So men will just, they take the easy route out. I buy my uncle, he did. He struggled with it and he took his own life. And I know how serious that is. So, you know, it was, you've just got to push, haven't you, to take that first step to go, and then making those small changes when that medication starts working for definite. And yeah, I agree with you 100% on that.
Yeah, because I think you can talk to your friends and tell them how bad you feel. But for me, it was like anyone could have told me anything. Like anyone could have told me, yeah, it will get better. And yeah, just do this, do that. I wouldn't have done it. And it would have given me nothing. It would have just fallen on deaf ears, basically. Mm. I think the doctor was what I needed, because he was the one that told me, okay, you are depressed. You have an issue. And I had something that I could pinpoint my moods to. So I wasn't crazy. I just had an illness, and that's okay. And you can treat that, and that's totally fine. And as you said, so many, especially men, struggle with depression nowadays, because as kids, we are the ones who hear boys don't cry. And you have to provide for your family. Everything depends on you. You're the breadwinner. And I'm glad that that is changing nowadays, because it's totally fine to cry, even as a man. It's totally, I think it's way more cool to be in line with your emotions than to be this glorified alpha male.
Yeah, yeah.
Glorify online nowadays, which I think is a joke.
Yeah, honestly. That's how my wife is. You know, she would always say to me, you know, I'll share your emotions. I would rather you share your emotions than, you know, bottle them in, because I do bottle mine in. They stay there and they just build and build and build and build, and I explode. But obviously, you know, talking to different people about anxiety and depression has helped me release it. Now, with you, do you know how did the depression, where did it stem from? Is it something that happened in life? Like for me, mine, I had about a few years back when I separated from somebody, and I wasn't seeing my children. That really put me into a bit of a depression, but it wasn't bad. But then it was only till I lost my dad, I didn't realize I was grieving, but I was also suffering from depression. So that was a massive thing for me. Losing him was just like, I knew it was going to happen, but you can't comprehend it happening. And I still think now, I can't believe he's not here. You know, it's shocking, really. Like, you know, I'm never going to see him again. But what about you? Was it, what triggered yours? Do you know? Have you been to talk to anyone about it? Or
I don't really know. I have some, I think I know some things. Like, for example, similar to you, I had a breakup with someone for many years ago that did break me. Like, but it was hard, and you thought I was over it by it. I think it gave like a push in that direction. Then the social anxiety came before the depression, so that I was inside a lot, that I didn't socialize a lot, except for video games and stuff. That was one trigger that gave another push towards the depression, I think. And
gaming's a big one.
Yeah, for sure.
You're in. You've got your headphones on. You know, I was the same. I you know, PlayStation, PC, Xbox, anything. I just game, and you're stuck in this virtual world, aren't you? And it's
exactly, yeah.
Yeah, you're not really socializing, and a lot of the people you socialize with online are toxic.
Yeah, exactly. We have a lot of toxicity and a lot of it. And then you talk to people that are feeling the same way that you do. So you sit online in a game with a lot of other depressed people and talk about weird stuff online, which doesn't help it. And you don't see eye to eye. Most people don't really care for how you feel, because you only play together. And that doesn't really help. So Yeah,
they're not friends, are they? They're not friends.
Exactly.
They're just people you meet, and then normally it is quite defensive straight away until they know you're all right. But that's one of the things I've got rid of out of my life is the gaming and stuff to help it, because it's helped me focus on my running more, which is good. But yeah, let's lighten the mood a little bit, because obviously we don't want to make it all about this. So I'm so happy you shared that, because it's not an easy thing to share. I never thought in a million years I would be making this podcast and talking about my feelings, but I need to do that because I want to help people, just like everyone I'm getting on the show. I want them to tell their story. So your long-term vision now then. So you've got your running, your triathlons as part of your life going forward. So are there any new goals or exciting things you're going to work towards this year? What's the main goal? Are we going to see you in the Olympics?
I wish. No, I think I'd never reach the level, obviously. Yeah, of course I have goals. Like, I always set myself pretty high goals. For example, I did my first 10K run last month. And it went quite good. I think I had a pretty good time. I did a new personal best on 10K. I ran 48:59. Which I was very surprised about. Like, but I think it was my first running race, and I was pretty surprised on how much it pushes you. Like, you have people from all age groups running with you, and you just run with them, and you don't really feel exhausted. I think the real exhaustion started after 7K. Like, that was when I realized, okay, I may have gone a bit too fast here. That's not the speed I usually go. But I didn't go slower, because the guy in front of me was also pushing me a little bit with his pace, and I thought I can hold his heel, so I stayed on his heel. That made that time possible for me, I think. And now my next goal, because you should set yourself high goals, right? My next goal is now for next year to run the same race, but do the 10K in under 40 minutes. That's my next goal, which I don't know if I can achieve, but if I do achieve it, I'm quite happy, I think.
But look how far you've come. So you've got to remember this, that April 2024, that's when starting the journey, weren't
you? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And you've already ran 10K, yeah? And you're trying to get it under 40 minutes already, and we're not even at the end of the year. So
true.
It was April, so May, June, July, August, September. So in 6 months, you've gone from never really running to doing a 1 5K with everyone, and then now you're up to 10K and you're aiming for 40 minutes. And you feel better, you're healthier. Are you eating better?
For sure.
Yeah.
Even though I have to say, I still eat some junk food, and I still drink. I still drink a lot of soda and stuff, which is not that good.
Yeah.
But I think it comes with endurance sports, right? I mean, what are endurance athletes eating? Like sugar gels and stuff like that?
Yeah. Well, I always remember seeing a meme online where someone was like, "Oh, you're a runner. You must be losing so much weight." And then it was just a picture of a guy where he got home and he had like 25 plates of food in front of him.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
That's it. Once you've run, you think you can just eat anything. So it's like, done my run, so I'm eating 5,000 calories.
That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So with your finding a balance in the future then, so running's provided balance for you now. So how do you plan to maintain the balance as your life evolves? So with your career and things like that, because we know, me and you, obviously with regards to the depression side, it can sneak up and just get you like that instantly, can't it? It can, at any point, it can just switch on. So what are you going to do? How are you going to balance that as you evolve into this new person now?
Yeah, for me, it's as you say, like, I still have some darker days.
Mm-hmm.
some days that are harder, where it's even harder to get out of bed in the morning. But what I think where running helps me with finding my balance is it provided me with the strength to overcome that bad days so I can deal with them better. I have running as my coping mechanism, and I can deal with those darker days better, and they are not as dark as they were before anymore. And I can make them brighter. And that's what I want to do and hope for the future, that that stays like that. So I just think I want to go forward while still doing sports and hope that I don't get any bad injuries or something that keep me out from sports for a long time. I try to reach my goals sports-wise, but also career-wise, so that I finish my studies to become a physiotherapist. I would love that. Just be happy in the future. And I think that's where the balance comes from, like from sport and from my newfound socializing.
Yeah, yeah. So with just to touch on that, because I'm interested in the whole physiotherapy. So how old are you now?
I'm 31.
31. So have you gone back to university then, or is it college? How's it work?
No, in Germany, it's school, basically.
Right, okay.
So school. I was a nurse before,
yeah,
basically, and didn't want to do that job anymore.
Stressful. So,
yeah, exactly. And I wanted to do something that I can do until I go into pension, basically, which is hard as a nurse. I think those shift work is also not that great for mental health, like doing night shifts, early shifts, late shifts, and that's not that cool for mental health. And on the other hand, physiotherapy is something that interests me a lot, because it has to do with sport, and you can help people on your own, basically. Which is really cool, and you learn so much about the human body, which also is super exciting.
So do you, with it now, with the physiotherapy, do you have any tips for people that are obviously starting out running? Because one thing for me that I was never told with running was the importance of stretching and recovery. Like I would just run, and, you know, I would ache for days and think, no, get out. Don't listen to your body. Just run. And I ended up being very, you know, very, very poorly. Sore legs, and I had problems with my knee and stuff like that. So what sort of tips would you give for people for starting out running?
If you start out running, just go slow and don't do too much. Because muscles grow very, very fast and they adapt very, very fast. But tendons don't. So everything else needs a lot of time to adapt to your running and to the new stress that the body goes through.
Yeah.
So start slow and don't run too far and don't run too fast. Just always remember, like, if you run, you run. And if you run your 1K in, I don't know, 10 minutes, that's totally fine.
Yeah.
You still run. And if you only manage to run 1K, then just run 1K. That's totally fine.
Do you stretch?
I
run in or after?
That's very, very, that depends for me. Like, studies are not that clear on that. Like, science is not that clear on that. But what I can recommend is stretch after running. It won't get rid of muscle soreness. You will still have pain that comes with doing sports. It will definitely help with injury prevention when you go out next. Yeah, for sure.
Right. Okay.
But so, I do it not often enough, actually.
Yeah. So what with me, what I've found helps is I always do a 5-minute walk before I start running. So I walk for 5 minutes just to loosen up. And then after I've done my run, I make sure I've got a 5 minute walk after, because then I do that. And then I'll do some stretches after. I didn't do that before. I must have only ran 2 miles on my first day, and I thought I was never going to walk again. I couldn't even bend down to sit on the loo, the toilet.
I believe so. Yeah.
Honestly, I thought, this is it. It's over. I'm never running again. But that was down to the fact that I wasn't stretching and I wasn't cooling down. And that is such an important thing. And again,
definitely, yeah.
Nutrition as well. After you run, that 30-minute window is quite important to fuel your body, isn't it? As far
exactly,
as I know.
Yeah.
Is that right?
I for myself don't eat anything in those 30 minutes after running, because you get the afterburn effect, which means that you don't run anymore, but you still burn calories.
Yeah, that's it.
And if you eat carbohydrates, for example, it turns into fat immediately. So don't do that, because you lose more, you burn more calories when you don't eat for at least half an hour, better even an hour after running. And after that, you can start eating again and refueling again. And what you also shouldn't forget is your muscles need sugar, like carbohydrates, to work. So before you go out for runs or for longer runs, pre-fuel your carbohydrate tanks and eat, like oatmeal, for example, is very good for carbohydrates and very healthy. And it's not that heavy in your stomach, so you can go out and still do sports. So do that, or eat a banana while you're at it, or before, so you have enough energy to go through the run.
Yeah, that's another thing that you mentioned, which is a really good point. People don't realize, and this is why I love running, you've done your run and then you're still burning calories.
Exactly.
You're still burning them after you run. And people don't realize that, you know, and that's a massive thing, because when I found that, I was thinking, I mean, running is an amazing thing. You know, you've stopped running and your body is still naturally burning calories from that run, because it takes time to recover. And like you touched on with the food, my favorite, when I go out for a run, I have brown bread, so wheat bread, and then I have peanut butter and banana.
Yeah, exactly. That's perfect.
It always seems the most perfect one for me, like, because it always gives me that energy I need. That is my religious go-to now before I go for a run. And I mean, come on, that's a nice combination, really. I mean, that's fun.
For sure. And it's not that unhealthy, and it's not that bad, especially if you go for a run. So yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, that's it. But yeah, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. So if people obviously want to follow your journey, who listen to the podcast, because, you know, I followed you, and like I say, you've inspired me. What socials are you on? What's the name of your social?
I'm mainly on Instagram, and the name there is @UliBInMotion, which, yeah, as you speak it, but the B is just a B and not a BE. You can find me there. You can follow me there if you want to. And I put up, basically, I try to be inspiring there, but I mainly share my journey there. And sometimes a bit about mental health as well.
Yeah, and that's what we're here for. That's why I got you on the show, because, you know, I wanted you to share that journey, because it sounds like you've had a real, real tough time. And you've, you know, like I say, you inspired me.
Thanks a lot.
When I saw you, and I thought, this guy is like really going for it. You know, he's like, he's not afraid of anything. And then I was gobsmacked when you said, you know, yeah, you suffered from depression. It didn't look like that. So that really inspired my journey. But I will tag you in, obviously, the post on social media. So if people do want to follow you, they can just look at the post to see you tagged in there. They can click on that and follow you there. And obviously, this episode will be on Spotify, Amazon, and Apple. It's also going to be on our website, so paceyourselfpodcast.com. Each episode will be put on there, so you can just click on the link to listen to the episode. But really, it has been an absolute pleasure, my friend. I've really, really enjoyed this time and this talk with you. You are an inspiration to so many people, and I hope people do follow your journey and you just keep progressing and, you know, just making yourself the best version you can possibly be.
Yeah, that's my goal. Thanks a lot, and thanks again for having me. It was a real pleasure.
No problem. All right, you take care.
Yeah, you too.